56 mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 9:03 the time. Our final hour here on Sports 56 mornings for this Tuesday, April 28th, 2026. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Jay Ham. We're broadcasting live and local from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, they got the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo going on through May 10th. Check it out at 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Currently 72, on the way up to 79. It's going to be possibly a rough weather day like it was for some parts yesterday. Strong thunderstorms in the forecast, bringing possible flooding, downpours, hail, damaging wind, isolated tornadoes, and again, that will continue into the evening. Not something that's automatic for every place that you're listening from, but be on the lookout for that. It does not look promising. Tomorrow and Thursday looks to be absolutely spectacular. And then Friday, we got about a 55% chance of rain before the weekend, and it cools down. High Friday, just 60, with an overnight low of 50. Saturday, 64 for a high, with overnight lows of 47. But the sunshine, so you're making golf plans, I think you're fine to make those plans for this weekend. Speaking of golf, it is Tuesday. It is time to talk with the Mick.
It's time to hit the links and talk some golf. It's Mickey and Friends. Mickey Barker, administrator of golf for the Bluff City, joins Greg and Eli each week. Now, here's Mickey Barker with Greg and Eli.
That is indeed correct, Mr. Announcer Man. Mickey Barker, the golf administrator for the city of Memphis, PGA professional and Hall of Fame golfer from Lipscomb. You can follow him on Twitter at MickeyBarker1. We have a Mickey Barker friend that'll be joining us a little bit later on, friend of the show, Bruno Straka, over there at Audubon, running the show there. But the Mick in studio. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing fantastic. So what's going on? What's been happening on the local scene?
Rain. We got rain last night.
I was going to say, fantastic. How much did you get? I know you didn't get enough, but how much did we get?
We got quite a bit. I bet we got over an inch last night in places. And boy, are we thankful for it. We really need it this time of year. Hopefully get some more tonight. Hopefully not the storms.
I was going to say, nothing damaging, though, right?
As far as I know, we only have one tree down this morning. We had a tree down at Galloway. Nothing major. It's something we have to clean up, but yeah, we'll take the rain for sure.
You had some work. I drove by Galloway the other day. I think it was Thursday, maybe. You had some work being done. Was it just cutting down trees?
We do. We're taking down some trees that have been causing us some issues on some of the greens, giving us too much shade, the roots growing up into the putting surface, taking some of those down. And we're also retrofitting our irrigation system. So all new sprinkler heads, all new operating system. The other operating system was 26 years old and just had come to end of life. And so we're fortunate enough to be able to get that done and should be finished by the end of May. And so that the as the grass really starts growing, you'll not see the lines or anything like that.
So was the tree that went down last night, was that one you were hoping it would go down?
No, unfortunately it was one that was just kind of over to the side on number 17. It really wasn't in play, but just gives us a little work to do. We rely on Park Ops. They're a great team. Their tree crew comes in and helps us out.
Is there going to be any effect to the golfers out there with the irrigation system?
Yeah, right now we are closing one hole a day as they're cutting in the new lines and putting in the new heads. And so we're giving the golfers a little bit of discount, and they get to play 17 holes instead of 18. So.
Is the tree removal stuff done as far as the ones you're taking down?
Yes. We completed that at the end of last week. May still be a little bit of cleanup, but as far as getting the trees down, those have been completed.
How about anything else with the local courses? We'll talk to Bruno, of course, about Audubon in just a few moments. But
We're always, especially Overton Park 9, we're always doing some tweaking there. And Rob Roy and his team, they're doing a little good bit of work on number 2, trying to get a little bit of grass growing. If you know the trees that you dogleg around going from the tee box to the green on number 2, trying to get some grass to grow there, between the tee and the green, which will be great. Doing some cart path work, just always upgrading there as best we can. Our Overton Park Conservancy friends have been great partners with that renovation and going forward.
You had the Mayor's Cup qualifier?
We did. We had the Mayor's Cup qualifier this past Saturday at Fox Meadows. Bradley Leggett was the low qualifier. He was 5 under par at Fox. It was a really good score. And so he'll be the third seed, the number 1 and number 2 seeds from last year, which was Tucker Fox and Josh Warlick. They were the finalist and semifinalist last year, and so they will they'll be the number one and two seeds going in.
I think I asked you this last year. Maybe things changed. Maybe they haven't, and I'm trying to remember if you knew all these. But off the top of your head, do you know the course record at all the city courses?
Not off the top
you
of
don't?
My head. I don't. I know that, you know, being at Galloway for so long, I know the tournament course record there is 60. Ed McDougal shot that in the pub link several years ago. But we have had some low rounds, some 63s and 62s at some of the golf courses.
All right, PGA Tour, it was the Zurich Classic. That's the tag team match. I'm not real thrilled to watch that thing, but the Fitzpatricks, they know each other pretty well. Matt has been on a tear. He's the money leader. $10.5 million already won, and I believe all of it's been won between March 1st and now.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about money now on the tour. It's out of this world for these guys with these. And this is not even a signature event. It's just like he probably gave his brother the money. Say, just keep the $1.4 million. But Matt Fitzpatrick, $10.5 million won already, and we have not hit May.
Right. Well, you win three times and finish second, and two of those being the highest paying tournaments of the year. I mean, you're going to be up there now. it's amazing. He's, you know, I'm sure Scotty's right there close to him. He's got what, 3 seconds and a win.
Yeah, so. he's second with let's see, he's got 8.4, right. But he's still 2.1 million behind him.
Yeah, it's amazing that you used to be if you could get to $1 million, you know, after the tour championship, that was a fantastic year. And now you have to make well over $1 million to keep your card.
You know, you know how many players are over $1 million already and we're in April? Take a guess how many players are over $1 million.
Probably 50.
62. Good guess. 62. Yeah. And there's others like right there on the cusp.
Right.
That's nuts.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
To me, that was so cool. I mean, I can't imagine for Matt, he doesn't need the money. He doesn't need any of it. It's just another win for him. But to help your brother, your younger brother, who basically achieved his dream, get his PGA Tour card, like and the shot he hit on 18, that bunker shot on 18 that Matt hit is insane. I just can't even imagine that feeling of doing that with your brother and helping him achieve his dream of getting his PGA Tour card.
Yeah, just imagine how many times growing up that Matt was in a bunker or something like that, and he'd say, "Hey, Alex, watch this." You know, so I'm sure he was feeling a little bit of pressure, but fantastic. 2.5 years of exemption he gets for Alex, and full tour exemption. He's going to be in the elevated events. And great for him. And he's a great player. I mean, he's won on the DP World Tour. It's not like he's a chop, but he, you know, this is a great step for him. So.
Liv is in trouble. We know it. I think they have the event in New Orleans which is the one that they look like they're not going to play?
New Orleans.
Yeah, I saw this morning.
They postponed New Orleans. I think they're playing the one coming up this week. I'm pretty sure. But it's in real trouble right now when you hear now some of these events because financially it's unsustainable because of the fact that now I guess PIF is like, okay, that's – PIF has said poof with the money. No more.
Yeah, I think you'll see – I would imagine that the PGA Tour officials are trying to figure out, okay, what kind of offer are we going to give to the top LIV players that we want back? You know, I'm sure the bottom half, they're like, you're on your own.
But what kind of life raft are we going to throw them?
Right, but I'm sure the guys that have won majors and you know, the top, they're coming up with something that's going to try and entice them to go ahead and come back pretty soon, I would think.
Before we bring Bruno on, you texted me this morning and said, Greg, how about a little bit on Nelly Korda? You wanted to talk a little bit about her.
Is probably the best golf swing in all of golf. Men, women, whatever. Just unbelievable. Had she been able to make very many putts, she would have probably won by 15 over the weekend. I mean, unbelievable. I don't watch a whole lot of LPGA, but watch some of that, and it was just extraordinary. I have played that golf course. So it helps
Houston
Memorial, where they play the Houston Open. And they played a little bit, obviously, shorter than the men play. They were playing at 6,800 yards. And so for her to shoot 18 under par and not hardly make a putt on Saturday and Sunday was unbelievable.
So many of the, like, so many of the women, like, their swings are just, like, they're perfect. Like, yeah. They're the perfect, like, the tempo and everything else. You're just like, why can't I do that? Like, it looks so easy for when they do make those swings.
Yeah, it is severe talent. I mean, they have a lot of talent, and they're so smooth. What is fun to watch about them is that, you know, their carry distance, their yardages are similar to what we play.
Yeah.
You know, I think they were playing about the same tees that we played when we played the golf course, and obviously they hit it a whole lot better than we did and stayed out a lot of trouble. But it's fun to watch. And around the greens, they are the one girl that finished second, I guess, her short game was phenomenal. I mean, she got up and down. She didn't hit a green. I watched 1-9 holes, and she didn't hit a green, and she shot under par. It's crazy.
And look, I love great golf no matter who is playing, but the Asians have taken over the LPGA Tour, and to see an American like Nelly Korda step up week after week and be right there battling the best that seemingly are coming from South Korea, from Japan, and other places in the Far East is nice to see for the good U.S. of A.
It is an international tour. I look down through the flags all the way down through the leaderboard, and it's just not—it's not just Asian countries, but Europe has a lot of great players. And,
sure.
And but the Americans did very well, and I love to see her ranked number one in the country.
We call the segment Mickey and Friends. That means from time to time, Mickey will bring on friends, and one of those friends is a friend of ours, and he has been for a long time. He is Bruno Straka. He is the facility manager over at Audubon, PGA professional as well, and he joins us now on the phone. Bruno, how are you?
Hello, Greg. I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. It has been a while. We have left Audubon to you. We've talked about the other city courses and what's going on. What's happening over there at Audubon?
Audubon's awesome. We finally got a little bit of rain this morning that I think everybody in the Mid-South needed. We're super excited about this year. We're busier than ever. We're planning on breaking ground for the clubhouse in the next couple months, so everyone's excited about that. Play is up. The different amounts of people and children and women and teenagers and Gen Zers that are playing is unbelievable. And I mean, it is sun up to sundown on weekends. The driving range, the amount of people putting time into utilizing the short course, the driving range, and the putting green is great. So from a golf pro standpoint, people are practicing and working on their games and wanting to have fun. And I see no slowing down anytime soon, Greg.
Bruno, with that, since the reopening, and I imagine you still probably get people that are playing it for the first time since it's been redone. What are the kind of the comments you get about Audubon from folks as they play it?
The number one response is fun. That is the first thing that they say to our staff when they come in after the round is thank you. Thank you for building this. Thank you for keeping it in good shape. And then all they say is how much fun they had. There have been very, very little operational or maintenance criticisms. Other than some of the stuff that we all deal with, especially when there's a drought, you know, fairways being a little thin, greens still being a little firm, but that's normal for any new golf course that's coming off, you know, putting down brand new greens. But really, it's been just compliment after compliment. And I know I'm a little biased, but everybody here at Audubon is committed to putting forward, you know, the best possible product that we can. And we don't have any excuses. Mickey gives us all the money and all the tools that we need. And I have the manpower, and most importantly, I have a crew, a team that has the desire and the passion to give the citizens and the taxpayers of Memphis a quality golfing experience. And I really think that we're doing the best that we can right now. But I'm super excited about, you know, the short course. I don't think we talk about that little six-hole short course enough, and how many students and children and first tee and grandpas and grandsons and grandmas and children and just generational fun happening over there. And so I think at the end of the day, when we build this beautiful clubhouse and we frame it up against Leftwich and Botanical Gardens, you have a place within, you know, let's call it that four blocks there that generations of Memphians can come and enjoy all these fantastic, affordable products to in a safe and clean and happy environment. So to answer your question short, Eli, it's fun. We are having a ton of fun out here.
Well said. Well said, Bruno.
Bruno, tell everybody what it kind of looks like starting about 3 o'clock every afternoon on the driving range. I've seen it firsthand, but it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, guy. I mean, it's wall to wall. We're hard pressed. I'm proud to say that Mickey and I we love to do a program here that the PGA offers called PGA Hope, and we're helping out the veterans of our country, and we love to do it. But we do that from 4:30 to 6:30 on Tuesdays, and as soon as and we block off a big portion of the range because we have over 25 veterans that are wanting to participate in the program. As soon as we pick up our stuff and leave, they just fill in. It's like water filling in a dam. I mean, it's just the sea fills right back in, and it's wall to wall. So, you know, from 3:30, 4 o'clock till 9 o'clock in the evening, it's just people up there hitting golf balls. And I don't know if Mickey told you, but we're super excited about covering that top portion of the range and bringing in Top Tracer and mm-hmm. ShotLink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was telling Mickey yesterday, and we were playing in an event, and I went to one of our competitors, Vantage Point, who shout out to them. They do a great job. But I'm so excited for us to get that product because just looking over my shoulder and getting the immediate feedback of, okay, how fast was I swinging? What was the curvature of my golf ball in relationship to my target? And I was getting that instantaneously. And I can't express enough about how much I think the value in that is. So not only will we be able to get, you know, that type of data while we're swinging, but there's also other things that they can do, a la playing other golf courses and stuff like that via ShotLink. So I'm just super excited. If you're a serious golfer, you'll have all the tools that are necessary to make you better. And if you're a casual golfer, you'll have all the tools that are necessary to make this game just a whole bunch of fun. And I think it's going to fit in awesome here in East Memphis.
So, Bruno, when that is built and you have the upper portion of the driving range that has the tracer and all that, and then you have the lower part, which I assume is just going to be the regular driving range, is it still get your bucket and go up, or is there a cost when you're using the top tracer and things like that?
No, I don't think so, Greg. I think everything, it's all inclusive. So it will still be go ahead and buy your bucket at the normal cost of $8, $14, or $20. And then if you choose that you want to go ahead and hit off the mat area and utilize the shot tracer data, there's no additional charge for that. And should you choose to want to go ahead and hit off natural turf that day, there's the regular charge for that. So there's no additional fees for this experience.
I'll give Bruno and his staff a great compliment here. Every day they move, when we're on the grass, every day they move the ropes and they fill in the turf, oh, yeah. You know, all the divots with sand, and they move to a clean spot, and they rotate that through about a 2-week period. They do it every day, and I see the guys out there filling sand.
How's your back, Bruno?
Everything's fine. I'm in my prime, Greg. I am in my prime.
When you're getting that much use of it, that's the biggest challenge, man.
It is. And about every 2 weeks, he'll go back onto the mats for a week or two to let everything grow back in. And of course, you know, Brian and Bruno are fertilizing and watering that and trying to grow it in as best. And they did a great job last year of keeping it going and smooth. So it's really a good practice facility.
Bruno, one last thing for you. And we've been talking a lot over the months with Mickey about the clubhouse. I think some people out there, they can't comprehend, like, where exactly it'll be. For those who maybe don't know where the clubhouse will be, can you tell us specifically?
Sure. So if you're familiar with where the trailer is right now in 663 Cherry Road, and if you're familiar with the 18th Green, that big, gigantic hill mm-hmm. that our 18th Green sits upon, the clubhouse will be parallel directly to that green, just south of where the current cart barn is, let's say, that gated area.
Right.
So it would be just south of that in that large portion of unused grass right now. So when we do build that 13 or 14,000 square foot clubhouse, the whole patio will be eye level to the 18th green. So you'll be able to finish your round, go ahead and purchase a cool beverage, step out onto the patio, and watch people putt out on the 18th green and be unobstructed. So I couldn't think of a more beautiful venue where you can harass your friends and hope they don't make a 2-foot putt for some money, or cheer them on and hope that they do. So we're all inclusive here, and we want everybody to have fun. But wait till you guys see it. Just I've been fortunate enough to attend every single planning meeting on this clubhouse, and you guys are going to be shocked at how cool the pro shop's going to be. The First Tee of Tennessee is going to have their headquarters there. We'll have two individual indoor hitting bay areas where you can not only you could play Audubon, but you could play Pebble, and you could play Pinehurst, and all the other 15,000 golf courses that are in their database. So in the wintertime, when the weather's not great and you can't hit balls, or you don't want to hit balls out in the cold, you can go inside and rent out one of those bays. And now you have we have a one stop. You never have to leave and ever go anywhere else other than Audubon to enjoy your golfing experience. And I'm just pumped for what you guys are about to see here in the next year or so.
We are fortunate enough to have people like yourself and Mickey doing what you guys do. Bruno, you've been a friend for a long time. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll see you soon out at Audubon.
All right, Greg. Love you. Thank you much. See you guys.
Thank you, Al. Great stuff.
Yeah,
can't wait.
Really good stuff. And in a couple weeks, we're going to have Scott Fleming on, the architect for the building. He's going to give us a little more insight into what it's going to look like and timelines and things like that.
All right, Mick, have a great week.
Thanks. See you guys.
Mickey Barker. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, Kyle Petty, former NASCAR driver and broadcaster, will join us because his 30th anniversary Kyle Petty charity motorcycle ride is rolling through Memphis. We'll give you all the details with Kyle Petty. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Join the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin, for Wolo and Friends. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11 here on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning.
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back. 9:28 the time. Kyle Petty going to join us in just a few moments. We talked a lot of NBA earlier in the show. Looks like Austin Reeves could come back for the Lakers.
That's Shams is reporting that they are optimistic that he is going to be able to come back tonight, which would be big for them, obviously, as they try to close it out. And then,
tomorrow night.
If they can get advanced, then I don't know where they stand on Luka and what his possibilities might be for the next round. But yeah, that would be big news for them. It's funny because the Lakers, you know, Marcus Smart and Luke Kennard both had the big games, seemingly every game for the first three. Then the game four, they didn't really do much. But then they both get fined together after game four. Those two former Grizzlies are really just sticking together. Whatever they do, they're going to do it together. Good game, I'll have a good game. Good bad game, I'll have a bad game. Then we'll both get fined afterwards. We're all good on
this. What'd they get fined for? I didn't see this.
Talk about officiating.
Oh, okay. What else, right? That Lakers game's not tonight. It's tomorrow night. The Lakers are a 3.5-point favorite over the Rockets tomorrow night. But tonight, the three games, Sixers-Celtics. Celtics trying to close it out. 11.5-point favorites at home. Hawks-Knicks, series even at 2. Knicks a 6.5-point favorite to grab the lead in that series. And then the Spurs and the Trailblazers in San Antonio. Again, this is a closeout game if the Spurs win. They are 12.5-point favorites. So 12.5, 11.5, 6.5. How about some close games?
Well, we've seen a lot of underdogs win games. Just because they're favorite doesn't mean it's
not. No, you're right. We've seen a lot of upsets, but how many really close games have we seen? Yesterday, Nuggets winning by 12. The Thunder closed out the Suns winning by 9. And then you had a fairly close game, Magic and Pistons, 94-88, so a 6-point game. You had a 32-point game on Sunday. You had a 21-point game on Sunday. You had a 19-point game on Sunday. You did have a close game with the Raptors and the Cavaliers. That was a 4-point game. And then you go back one day before that, 8-point game, 22-point game, 16-point game, 16-point game. There just hasn't been a lot of drama in the NBA playoffs so far. And maybe it's because it's the first round.
It's the first round. That's pretty much it. It's kind of a lot of chalk in the first round. So, but you do have those cases of drama, like with New York and Atlanta. They had a few tight ones, a couple of last second deals or whatnot. But then, like I was just saying, Saturday they had the blowout. It was just no contest from the beginning. But hopefully we can get back with a good competitive game in the Garden tonight.
Well, and that San Antonio-Portland game over the week, again, it was a 21-point game, but they were down by 18 or 17 at the half. So, yes, it turned out to be a blowout, but it was a complete switch around. It wasn't just like they dominated the whole game and there was no drama to it.
Right.
And then we have the bad games where everybody shoots the ball horribly.
we've had some ugly games that were certainly unappealing as far as aesthetically. But we just haven't had a lot of close games, drama, last second shot, like you do in the NCAA tournament. Now, you have your blowouts, too. Don't get me wrong. So that's understandable in the first round. Hopefully, in the round, the second round, they'll be a lot tighter. Federal prosecutors said Monday that they had developed evidence that Terry Rozier solicited and received a bribe during an alleged gambling scheme, and that they were planning to file additional charges against the veteran NBA player in the coming weeks. So I guess when it rains, it pours.
He just can't stay away from it. It's terrible.
Is tonight the MVP award? What is tonight?
Tonight
defensive player? No, that was already – they already gave that one out.
Tonight is the – what is tonight? Tonight is rookie – or not rookie, I'm executive.
Executive of the year? That has to be Presti, right?
Presti, Trajan Langdon –
who do you think, Eli?
Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
Although the fight, he was actually trying to
right.
give up on the season right. and just get him under the luxury tax.
That's what made me chuckle about.
So, I don't think he could be executive of the year. He was giving up on the year. They just happened to be good.
They should give it to the best tanker. The executive of the year is the team that tanked the best. They should give it to the best tanker. In all seriousness, as far as executives are concerned, Pat Riley, who will not win Executive of the Year, is coming back again. He says, I'm not retiring. I'm fired up. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to do what we need to do, and we're going to be better. We're going to be more competitive next year.
Well, good luck.
How old's Pat Riley now? Has he hit 80 yet?
He's got the Miami Heat stuck right where you don't want to be.
Right in the middle?
Being fairly good, but not good enough to do anything.
He is. He is 81 years young. Well, as we mentioned, this is going to be exciting here in Memphis because Kyle Petty, who's been doing his motorcycle ride for charity, now in its 30th year. And he's been to Memphis before because we've had Kyle on the program. But he's going to be rolling through Memphis on Wednesday, May 6th. And be stopping at the House at Graceland. Beautiful facility. Have a big event coming up at 1:30. We'll talk to Kyle about that. The race gets underway this Friday from Sonoma, California. Without further ado, he is the former NASCAR driver, broadcaster, running over 829 races, to be exact, in his NASCAR Cup career. Kyle Petty joining us now on Sports 56 Mornings. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, man. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. Yeah, you won't remember this, but years ago in one of your charity events, you rolled through Memphis. We had you on the program. It's always a delight. For those who don't know, give us a little bit of the background about this charity event that you've been doing now for three full decades. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. We started in 95, and a few of us just wanted to ride motorcycles from California back to North Carolina, and people said we were crazy, and we told them we were going to do it for charity, and they told us we were geniuses. And here we are 30 years later doing the same thing. Those first few years, man, we just stopped at children's hospitals and helped people along the way. And in 2000, my oldest son, Adam, was killed in a racing accident in New Hampshire. And I'd driven some sports car races with Paul Newman, and we built a camp called Victory Junction, which is part of the Newman's serious fun group of camps. And everybody knows Newman's Own products that go to send kids to camp at the hole-in-the-wall game camp in Connecticut. But we built a sister camp to that. It's in North Carolina. It's called Victory Junction. We've seen or touched the lives of 150,000 kids, at least 150,000 kids, totally free of charge, who have come to camp, or we've reached them through our REACH program that goes to different children's hospitals through North Carolina, South Carolina, and Southern Virginia. We've been seen kids from all 50 states and from six foreign countries, sent a ton of kids from St. Jude's who have come through our system at different times. What an amazing place St. Jude's is.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just... it's just that's what we do now. We ride motorcycles. We've raised over $23 million in the previous 29 years and given it all away to charities. And hopefully we'll raise a bunch this year, and that number will go up and more kids can go to camp.
God bless you, man.
That's absolutely awesome. So how many people are involved? How many riders do you have? And how far are you riding per day, basically?
So this year we upped it a little bit. We try to keep it about 125. We upped it this year because it's our 30th anniversary. America's 250th birthday, and we did, there's just so much to celebrate this year. But so there's 150 bikes with two people on some bikes. So there's about 250 people on the whole thing because we have our own doctors, our own nurses, some paramedics that go with us. We have our own safety crew, our own motor marshals that go with us. The first day this year, I think we're riding about 515 miles. So then it drops down to about 480 for a couple of days, and then we get down in the mid-300s. So it's a ride. It's not. Yeah. This is not come out and with your fancy bike and show off your clothes. You know what I mean? This is jump on. We're going to ride in rain, snow, sleet, or hail. We got to get across the country, man. That's the way it is. So it's a legit ride, man, and these people that come out and do it are special people.
I know there's not a ton of different routes to go from coast to coast, but there are some. Do you do a different route, or have you done the same route every year?
No. We have gone in the 25 and in the previous 29 years, we have gone the southern route, the northern route. We've crisscrossed. We've gone from Seattle to Key West. We've gone from Maine to Miami. We've gone from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, down to Phoenix. I mean, we've just run different routes. Just at north and south, east and west, it doesn't make any difference, man. We have found some roads. We try to stay off the interstate. That's the best part about this ride. Mm-hmm. We try as much as we can to stay away from the interstates and ride two-lane highways. This year is a centennial of Highway 50 that runs from California all the way to Ocean City, Maryland. We're going to ride part of Route 66, and it's their 100th anniversary also. So there's so many things. But, yeah, we've gone... We hit some of these cities for the same time, and you don't even realize you've been through them, man. You'll be on some back road, and all of a sudden you're like, man, I remember this from about 15 years ago, dude. This place hadn't changed at all, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, there's a lot of ways across, and we've been on most of them, but I can't say we've been all of them yet.
You'll make your stop here in Memphis and have an event next Wednesday, May the 6th. What the fan event, what goes on while you're here in Memphis?
So we'll be at the guest house at Graceland. We roll in there May 6th, about 1:30. And what we try to do is every city we go to, we try to just have an event in the parking lot just for a short period of time before our riders go inside. We have some celebrities with us. My dad, Richard Petty, Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer,
nice.
Who is an analyst for Fox. He's on Kenny Schrader, Kenny Wallace, David Reagan, who raced a number of years ago. Rutledge Wood will probably be with us from Top Gear fame. Bill Davidson from great-great-grandson of Harley-Davidson mm-hmm. founder. So we've got a few celebrities that will be with us. And then just 140 or 50 of the greatest people you've ever met that are willing to give their time and give up part of their life to be able to send kids to camp. So they're the real superstars of this thing. But we sign autographs, take pictures, just hang out in the parking lot, talk racing. I guess if you go to Graceland, you got to talk Elvis and you got to talk music. So maybe we can get my dad, the king of NASCAR, to sing a King Elvis song. Probably not. I will go ahead and say that right off the bat. But we're going to have a good time when we get there.
Is your dad the king? Is he riding a motorcycle the whole time or just like in this
area? Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, he's got a trike. Who are you talking about that's 81?
Oh, it was Pat Riley.
Okay. So my dad's 88.
Oh.
He'll be 89 this year.
Gosh.
So and he's still going strong. So that's good.
Man,
that's good, man.
What do we, I mean, look, you've been asked this a billion times, and I'm sure we asked you when you were on before, but I mean, we talk about a lot in sports or entertainment or politics, whatever, like shoes to fill. I mean, you were a very good NASCAR driver. As I mentioned earlier, you had 829 races in the Cup over 30 years, 8 wins, 173 top 10s, went into broadcasting. You've been around racing for a long time. But obviously, you grew up, your grandfather, Lee. But your dad is the king. You got to follow in those footsteps. What was it like to do that, Kyle?
You know what? I never paid attention to it. And maybe that's just stupidity on my part. You know what I mean? So I don't know, because it's so funny. I just grew up from the time I was little. You know, my granddad had raced and my dad had raced, and I grew up in rural North Carolina where everybody had farms, and you know, the farm got passed from one generation to the other. I tell people, we had a farm too. We just raised race cars on our farm. And that's kind of the way it was, you know. So I never really thought about it. You just go out and keep the business alive and keep it going no matter what it is. Some years are better than others. And listen, Rich, you look at it's like a lot of things. And I tell people, and Dale Jr. and I have talked about this. You know, we just happened to get stuck with a father who was an anomaly and was great. Was better than everybody else ever was. You know, that kind of thing. So you just go do the best you can. That's all you can do, man. And he's the only dad I ever know. And man, as long as he's wanting to ride a motorcycle with me and him will ride motorcycles forever.
That's so awesome. So cool.
So how old were you when you like got into, like, I don't know if it was go-karts or whatever? What was the first time you raced?
No, my dad bought me a motorcycle when I was 5 and wouldn't let me drive a race car until I was 18. Never gave us go-karts. He told us go-karts were dangerous. Now, here's a man really? That gave you a motorcycle at 5 but told you go-karts were dangerous, okay? So I don't know how that train of thought works or how you connect those two dots, but he connected them some way in his head.
I was just down in Alabama. I wasn't at Talladega, but Talladega was racing this past weekend. They had the big crash, as they always seem to do.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm looking up your bio before you were coming on today, and I'm like, your first race, 79 Cup, Talladega. I mean,
Talladega.
What? You're thrown right into the fire.
Yeah. It's like, here's the pool, and that's the deep end. Jump in, man. That's it.
What was it like?
It was, let me tell you something. I was 18 years old. I had just come out of high school playing football, basketball, baseball, everything that you kind of do. And I'm racing against these 38, 40-year-old men, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to kick these guys' butts 6 ways from Sunday, dude. They ain't going to know I hit them when I get out there. They came by me so fast, it blew my goggles off. I'm telling you, man, they are the toughest old men I've ever seen in my life. And it was my dad and Pearson and Kale and Bobby and Donnie Allison, Buddy Baker. I mean, they were just... And you in that one moment, you realize how tough those old guys were.
Yeah.
And what they did, and it was just a different era, man. It was a different era back when I started, and been very blessed. Was fortunate enough to grow up and race, and then race against Earnhardt and Rusty and Mark, and then Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart and guys like that, and on into to the next generation. So spanned 2 or 3 different groups of great drivers that came through NASCAR. So it was pretty cool.
Can you believe what's going on right now with the Michael Jordan and his driver Tyler Reddick and the way they're winning?
Man, they are. You know, but it's funny, and I know y'all see it in sports. Teams just get on a streak, man, and they can do no wrong. It doesn't make any difference whether it's football, basketball, baseball, hockey. I don't care, man. Synchronized swimming, they can get on a streak, man, and they get it done. And right now, Tyler and 2311 is getting it done. Bubba, not so much. So you can't say that it's just 23-11. You can't say it's just Michael Jordan, because the other team's not performing like Tyler is. But Tyler is just getting it done week in and week out, and it's been phenomenal. Now, we all know streaks that get hot get incredibly cold, too.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when it goes cold, everybody's going to be pointing, well, you did this. Why can't you do it now? It's not that easy, and we all know it's not that easy. So you just got to ride that wave when you can, and when it hits the beach, get up, dust yourself off, and jump back in the ocean, man. And that's all you can do about it.
Are you doing anything now in media?
I do a bunch of stuff with NASCAR. We do a show called Inside the Race when the race is over with, and do some different stuff. But no, I've kind of stepped away from that a little bit. I got remarried. I've got a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old,
congrats,
wow, and a 7-year-old. So I'm chasing kids and getting them motorcycles, man. They're riding motorcycles. And I got to tell you this. I got to tell you, when you said Pat Riley was 81, mm-hmm. I drove when I was 20. I would have been early 20s. Early to mid 20s, I drove a race car for 7-Eleven and worked with a guy named Bruce Jolish. And Jolish worked with the Lakers, and we came to, I was 22, 23, early 80s, had dinner with Pat Riley at Chasen's in L.A. Uh-huh. And it was like one of the most amazing evenings of my life because he was bad to the bone with that slick back hair and the way he wore a suit and walked the sidelines. Man, he was. That was like the coolest guy in the world. So when you said that, that brought back a lot of memories.
So you say you with your 3, 5, and 7. How old are they? When you get them motorcycles, and when can they get into a race car?
Yeah, they got motorcycles. You get motorcycles when you're 5. That's the way it works.
That's a standard operating procedure for the entire family.
I guess that's the way I was. That's the way I was raised. So that's the way. I'm just repeating the cycle, man. I can't. You know, I'm not smart enough to break it.
Well, once again, it's the 30th anniversary, man, 30th anniversary of Kyle's charity motorcycle ride across America with all kinds of great people and special guests galore, including his father, the King, and they're coming through Memphis. They'll be here on Wednesday, May 6th. 1:30 is the projected time. Are you guys usually right there, like close to the time?
Yes, my wife, Morgan, runs the charity ride, and if we're not, we get fined. So we got to be there at 1:30. That's the way it works.
They'll be starting on Friday from Sonoma, California. Go on out there. It's going to be a great event, and it's all for charity. Kyle, God bless you. It's unbelievable what you guys are doing, the money you're raising. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Be safe out there.
Thank you, man. Take care.
Thanks.
It's great because they're going to Springfield, Missouri. The stop before here is Springfield, Missouri, at the Bass Pro Shop.
Yes.
And they come here with the other massive Bass Pro Shops, but they're not going there. They're going to the guest house at Graceland when they're here in Memphis. But it's a Bass Pro Shops stop from one to the next.
Makes a lot of sense. Take your basketball skills to the next level at Shoot 360 Memphis. This is a revolutionary basketball training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with gamification. You're going to have a lot of fun doing it. You get the instant objective feedback with hands-on one-on-one expert coaching and the analytical numbers that are going to be right there for you to take in every single time you put up a shot in one of these shooting bays with the Shoot 360 technology. I've talked about for little kids, they have the passing drills where you're actually hitting targets, you're scoring points, you're learning how to chest pass and bounce pass, and you're being active while playing games that you would normally do sitting at home and playing on your Game Boy or whatever video games you play. Now the kids are out there and they're active. So check that out. Find out more information about that. But for all you basketball players looking to become better all-around players, better shooters specifically, Shoot 360 Memphis is the place for you. And you can join monthly basis. Try it out for a month. If you don't like it, that's fine. I'm telling you, you're going to fall in love with it. In Collierville, where they still have the 4 shooting bays, that's the original. That's at 85 Market Street, 901-316-5500. In Cordova, that's got all the bells and whistles. 50,000-square-foot facility, Big Orange Road. Call them at 901-779-3176. You can just stop by as well and ask them for a tour of the facility. But again, as I always say, join for a month for your sons, your daughters, your grandsons, your granddaughters, for yourself. The future of basketball training is here at Shoot 360 Memphis.
We've got another manager firing.
Ooh, man, they're starting to add up. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Not only can you listen to your favorite shows on Sports 56, you can also watch video of the shows live on Twitter and YouTube. Watch and listen every day
at Sports 56 WHBQ.
Now back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Good morning!
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
The Athletic reporting that Rob Thompson, your Phillies manager, is no longer your Phillies manager. Don Mattingly will be the interim manager. So, at NLS, East team making the move, not the Mets. We'll see what the Mets end up doing if the losing continues. But Rob Thompson, second manager fired for the Major League Baseball season.
Yes, so the Phillies have made it official. They've released a statement. So I'm on a golf trip over the weekend, and I'm with a buddy who's from L.A., and he's a big Phillies fan like I am, and we said that you got to fire Thompson. And I predicted they'd fire him on Monday. They fired him on Tuesday. I was off a day, and I said, listen, it's obvious you elevate Don Mattingly, the bench coach. So Don Mattingly right now will take over for the rest of the season. Whether or not he'll get the full-time gig, I guess will depend a lot on how the Phillies battle back from this awful start. Chris Adamson, who had been Lehigh Valley's bench coach since 2024, he's been elevated to manager of the Iron Pigs. That's their nickname. This is all according to the president of baseball ops, Dave Dombrowski, who's been around for a long time. But the Phillies making the move that I thought was going to happen. Looks like the Mets, though, are going to stick with Mendoza. Carlos Mendoza, I thought he could lose his job, too.
For now, they are.
for now.
Good. We'll see you. Again, when you lose 15 out of 17, who are they playing? Who do they open a series with today?
By the way, Dusty Wathan, the new bench coach for the Phillies, he came up from their AAA.
Mets open a series with the Nationals. They just got swept by Colorado. Let them get swept by the Nationals. Let's see if Mendoza can hold on to that job then. I would doubt it at that point. Folks, if you are moving into a new home or a new office, any kind of move that you've got coming up, you need to talk to the professionals, the experts at Black Tie Moving to take care of that for you. You don't want to try and do it yourself. Don't want to ask your lazy friends to help you. That's just a lot of stress and worry that you don't need in your life. You need the professionals who will make sure everything goes smoothly and you don't have to stress out during the moving process. All you got to do is give them a call, 901-316-6196. Go to blacktiemoving.com/Memphis. Talk to the professionals. They work with you to come up with a plan for your move, fitting what you need, fitting your budget, and they will give you a no-obligation quote up front. It's going to go as smoothly as you can imagine, and they'll do as much or really as little as you want them to do. If you just need them to pick up the boxes, move them, and drop them off, that's great. If you want to do the packing and unpacking, that's fine. You need storage, whatever, they'll do whatever what you need them to do. And again, they'll work with you to come up with that plan for exactly fitting your needs and fitting your budget as well with the folks, the professionals at Black Tie Moving.
Adam Schefter reporting that the Steelers placed the rare UFA tender on Aaron Rodgers, meaning that he can accept a 10% raise off last year's salary, which would pay him about $15 million this season. As another condition of the tender, Rodgers would only be able to sign with the Steelers once training camp begins. Interesting. Again, people don't like him. He holds teams hostage. And in this case, it's his former head coach in Green Bay, Mike McCarthy. I think he's going to play. That's just me and my gut feeling. If not, Mason Rudolph, you have the rookie. They went ahead and took Drew Aller from Penn State in the draft. And they have Will Howard from Ohio State, who they took last year. Speaking of the draft, Mike Tannenbaum was on ESPN this morning. And once again, he was backing an original statement that he feels that the Rams did the right thing. He said the Rams are playing chess while everybody else is playing checkers. That he believes that they got their quarterback after Stafford retires for the next 10, 12 years. He thinks they're ahead of the game. Others certainly ridiculed the Rams for taking Ty Simpson where they took him.
It's also a reason Mike Tannenbaum's not in the front office anymore. you got that going for
touché,
you.
Touche, touche. That's going to do it for us today. Want to thank Kerry Talley, Mickey Barker, Bruno Straka, and Kyle Petty for joining us on the program. Tomorrow, another packed show for you. DeMichael Cole will join us at 8:05. Former Memphis Tigers assistant coach Aki Collins will be joining us. And we'll have super agent Lee Steinberg scheduled for tomorrow. It all gets underway at 7 a.m. Of course, we'll be talking plenty of NBA playoffs. Waldo and Friends on Sports 56 is coming up next. For Eli Savoy, for Jay Hamm, I'm Greg Gaston. Have a great day, everybody.
add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.